Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a former pet insurance salesman turned entrepreneur. In 2013, he started a company called Based In, an aggregator of small business local reviews. And almost a year and a half later, him and his team made the tough decision to end Based In and then evolve it into something better. He's now the founder of Reply Pro, software that enables companies to respond to reviews faster and easier, all from a single platform. Now, let's hack Ryan Vasso. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, ActiveCampaign. Companies are using marketing automation and they're seeing 53% higher conversions than those using traditional email marketing. ActiveCampaign enables you to send perfectly timed messages in response to your customers' actions and behaviors. Treat your contacts as unique individuals rather than sending everyone the same message like I've been doing for the last couple of years. With marketing automation, your campaigns can listen, learn, adapt, and respond, all based on your contacts' behaviors. Plus, it's a beautiful, easy-to-use platform. No need to hire consultants. You can set it up yourself. Trust me, if I can do it, you can do it. See why thousands are upgrading to a more intelligent marketing solution. Sign up right now for a free 14-day trial. No credit card needed. Visit activecampaign.com/hack. No training fees, no contracts. Pricing is accessible to any business. Plus, for being an exclusive Hack the Entrepreneur listener, you're going to get free migration from your old provider. You're going to get your second month of service for free. Plus, you're going to get a free one-on-one strategy session with the platform consultant. You can use this during your free trial if you wish to give yourself a jump start. Start marketing smarter today. Go to activecampaign.com/hack for your free 14-day trial. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest, Ryan. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, man. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. So what do you say we get into it?
Yeah, it should be good.
Excellent. All right, Ryan. As an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I'd say being okay with having the wrong answer. I mean, we've tried many things to try to figure out product market fit and to have, you know, clients that love our software. And to do that, you have to be super vulnerable and expose yourself. On our first, you know, almost 4 years ago, we had an original company called Based In, and I just made the crucial mistake of spending 9 months building out software, trying to make it perfect in my mind. We introduced it to the public and it fell flat on its face. And that was after 9 months. So that was hard for me. It was hard sharing that with my family because at that point I quit my job. And so, you know, you're expecting some great success or at least some momentum, and it just fell flat. And so I've learned to not spend 9 months trying to perfect it in your mind. Just get out there, show a raw product, talk with people. Sometimes it's embarrassing because you know, you're going with this really, really raw product that you know is incomplete, but you're looking for kind of deeper insights from customers. And so it's just, it's learning how to be vulnerable and, you know, ultimately just trying to look deeper and understand what truly the customer wants and why they want it.
Interesting. And yeah, that's a hard way to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
9 months and then have it not work. So you've sort of, I guess, adopted like an iterative sort of process now, more so than just like build this perfect thing and then put it out?
Yeah. I mean, so what I tend to do is like, we have a core group of customers that are pretty open to feedback. And so before we build product, we'll go out and talk with them and kind of almost give them a list. Like, here's four potential items that we could build or add on, you know, what's most interesting. And, you know, I'm listening to their words, I'm listening to what they're saying, but more importantly, like, I'm literally looking for body reactions. And I'm looking to see excitement in their eyes, because I've been in plenty of meetings where you list five features and they say like, oh yeah, that's cool. That'd be cool. That'd be cool. But on the fourth one, they get like visibly excited about it. And I try to see repetition in that. And I try to see multiple people saying the same things. And that's when I know we have a winner.
That's how I was gonna ask that, because people do tend to, you say like, oh, would you like this feature or this product? They say yes, but it's not always true. So you ask these questions and you do these sort of meetings like in person. This isn't email or automation.
Yes. So we'll do email kind of broad. Like if I want like a broad base, like, hey, pick these three features, which one? But if I really, before we pull the trigger and actually start building, absolutely, we go face to face with the people that are already using our software, and hopefully a few that aren't, to see if we could, you know, push them over.
Nice. I love it.
But yeah, it's that face to face. Cause you can tell when someone's saying like, yeah, that'd be great, but in their mind, they're not going to use it, versus someone that's like visibly excited about it.
Exactly. That's a huge difference. Huge difference. And I guess one that's essential to make. Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Like that's where it goes back to being awkward, because sometimes we've had a couple of meetings where we thought we had great ideas and, you know, we presented three or four options and, you know, they were kind of going through the motions and saying they liked it, but there was no visible excitement. And so for me, that's kind of awkward, because they're pretty much telling you like, eh, this isn't that great. And that's okay. Like we have to be honest with them and, you know, call that to attention and say like, okay, we'll be back. Like obviously these aren't great, the greatest features ever. We'll be back with some more ideas.
Okay. So this is interesting. So if you're in that meeting and it gets awkward, you wouldn't sort of try and iterate on the idea or pull more out of them at that time. You'll kind of take it off the table, leave, and come back with another approach.
Yeah, I'm just trying to listen to like what they do. So, I mean, I try to balance it between every appointment. I'm trying to understand more about what they do and their processes. So like we meet with restaurants a lot, right? And so I've never worked at a restaurant. I don't know what it's like to be a restaurant manager. So if anything, I just turn more attention. If, you know, I'll pitch my features, I'll see if they like it, if there's visible excitement. If there's not, then I really just turn the attention back over to, okay, can I understand deeper what you do about this process, or what do you do on a Monday morning, or how do you handle social media? So that's the way I turn awkwardness into just normal conversation. You know, for them, I don't think it's awkward because it's just normal conversation. But for me, it's super awkward because it's like, great, this guy just rejected all five of my ideas. You know, so that's never good.
Well, it is good, but yeah, you're right. It's really awkward. You have to get used to that.
Yep.
Because you know that there's a greater good to come.
Yep, exactly.
And it's interesting when you said that, like you work a lot with restaurants, even though lots of times it seems like people, like your company or your service will work with sort of a marketplace that you're comfortable with or you've come from maybe. So how did restaurants come into play for Reply Pro?
Yeah, it's just, it was through iterations. So when we started out, I did have, you know, a background in more of the service industry, you know, so like plumbers, I had friends that managed HOA management associations, et cetera. So I started with that and that fell flat on its face. Like it didn't work. And so our company eventually transitioned more into reputation and reviews because I was, as a consumer, I was passionate about that. But like a plumber gets, you know, a review a month, if that. So we knew like that wasn't going to be our clientele. So that's where we shifted our focus to restaurants just because of the high volume of reviews that come in so much.
Oh, that makes sense. And they're, I mean, yeah, reviews. I have no idea about the restaurant business, but it must be so painstaking and such a hard, like just sticking point of business is getting bad reviews or good reviews. Cause I hardly ever go to a new restaurant without checking reviews.
No, exactly. And that's what was hard was just, you know, I knew what it was like as a consumer. I live and die. I mean, I live in Boise. I've lived in Boise for 8 years. I still use Yelp to figure out where I want to go for lunch, you know? So but from the business standpoint, it was a whole new world because some of these restaurants are completely have their heads in the sand and don't care about reviews. Some are successful regardless of their reviews. You know, some love them, but don't know what to do. So it was a whole new learning experience. Even though I've been using reviews, you know, since I've had the internet, it was new learning it from their perspective. And so that's where I go back to every time I meet with these guys, I just want to learn more and more about their processes and how they handle things, just so I can see kind of deeper between the lines and see if there's commonalities between, you know, all restaurants in general.
Smart. All right, Ryan, if we can go back now, because there seems to be, and I know that Reply Pro has taken like a iterative process through a couple different companies, I guess, and company names and teams.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the very beginning. There seems to be this time when we look back in every entrepreneur's life when they've realized one of two things, that either they had this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or as mostly seems to be the case, they just found they couldn't work for somebody else anymore. So if you could tell me which side of the fence you see yourself on, and then please just take us back to when you discovered this.
Yeah. So my first job, kind of going through college, my first real job was selling pet insurance of all things. So it's like human health insurance, but for pets. And it was good because it paid the bills. It got me through college. You know, we had three kids during that time period. So that was good, but I hated it. Like I didn't relate to it. You know, when you got a guy calling because a month ago he spent $32,000 on his cat and doesn't want to experience that again. Like, I just don't relate to those type of people at all. And it was tough because this whole time I knew I had to financially support my family and get through college. So I was just kind of like watching the clock and waiting so I could jump in and do my own thing. Cause I think most entrepreneurs think they can do something better than what already exists. And I think for me, it was just finding that niche of like, okay, what am I passionate about? And what do I think I could do better than the current competitors? And so my original company was called Based In. Essentially, it was what HomeAdvisor is, or Thumbtack, where you could send one request out and have, let's say you need a plumbing job. You could send one request out. It would go to like five or six plumbers and they would get back to you. So you wouldn't have to like call around. So when I started, I didn't know how to do competitive research very well because, you know, literally about 4 months into our project, Google funded HomeAdvisor for like $80 million. And I didn't even know they existed. So that was a big blow. But number two was just, you know, it was interesting because as an entrepreneur, I had this excitement, like, I can do it better. I know I can do it better. And that's where I spent, you know, 9 months building this product, and then it fell flat. And it was interesting because like, it was my biggest lesson on just get your product out in front of your customer as soon as possible. Cause what happened was we sent leads out to plumbers and they wouldn't respond back. Like, it was the craziest. If you would have told me the one piece that would have failed in my business idea, it was not the fact that these service professionals would be ignoring honest to goodness leads of people that wanted to buy their service. And it was crazy for me, like absolutely baffling. And my advisors and my friends, you know, were all supporting me and everyone was baffled that that was the issue. And it turns out, like, I talked to other companies that were doing the similar thing. And it was a common problem. Like, these people would reject the leads. And so I think at that point it kind of shook my confidence a little bit because it was like, I thought I had a good idea. I thought I could do it better than my next competitor. And it just kind of fell flat. And I think that's where it attributed to, like, going back to the desire. It was still that desire of like, I don't want to go back to a desk job. I don't want to go back to like some job that I'm not passionate about. So instead of just trying to find another high paying sales job, you know, I just stuck with it and kept iterating and listening to customers. And eventually we morphed into today, which is Reply Pro.
Nice. And I'm sure selling something like pet insurance is, you're right, probably really hard, probably also helped you learn to be vulnerable to people saying no.
Yep.
And probably taught you a lot about selling, which I'm sure has helped a lot at this point.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely attributes. I mean, there was good things from a professional standpoint, you know, just being able to, you know, learn to, basic sales skills. I also attribute a lot to our current company culture because there were things at my company that I did like, that I thought was good, that was admirable, but it taught me a lot of corporate culture that I absolutely hated. And one of the things that like drove me nuts was the company I worked for was pretty conservative. One, because insurance laws, you just can't be too creative because there's so many laws around it. But two, even when there was an opening, there was so much resistance of trying to do new creative things. And that's really what almost like fueled the fire to do my own thing because I was so tired of, you know, trying to copy competitors or like, you know, one up competitors just by an inch. Like, I like the idea of like blowing competitors away, being completely different and radical and bringing something new. And I just wasn't experiencing that. So it was just another reminder that if I went back to the corporate culture, like, I probably could expect the same.
Yeah. Fair enough. And you've just moved ahead from there. Yep. Continue to.
Yep.
So back at the beginning, you said your one thing was being okay with having the wrong answer.
Yeah.
Now, every business expert, Ryan, talks about this 80-20 rule. You're supposed to find your 20% that gives you the 80% of the result. You're supposed to do what you're good at and delegate the rest.
Yeah.
Ryan, can you please tell me something that you were not good at in your business?
A lot of things. The one thing that I struggle with that I'm constantly improving, but one thing that's always been a struggle is just being a great visionary for the company. So I have a good vision of where I want to take the company, but something that's just been incredibly hard is relating that vision to the rest of my employees so that they catch the vision, that they agree with the vision, that they follow with the vision, et cetera. Because throughout our pivots and changes, you know, we've had a couple employees bail because, you know, there were times where we didn't have a vision. So we got accepted into Boom Startup. It was it's a Salt Lake business accelerator. And halfway through the program, that's when we still had based in, we realized like we weren't going to get funding on it. And we had to make a radical pivot just to like kind of save face. And I lost one of my key employees, my CTO at the time, because he lost faith that the company could find a good vision. And that was hard because that, you know, essentially didn't have, when it comes down to it, he didn't have faith that we'd figure it out. But we found other employees that have left because, you know, they either didn't agree with the vision or just didn't understand the vision fully. Like they could see what they were working on as a task, but they couldn't see like where that was going. And so my job was to continually work on that to make sure we're on the same page. And so there's general excitement because when there's not excitement in the company, it just, everything seems lethargic. People get frustrated more, work slows down, and it's just a huge detriment to the company.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And I mean, I commend you for the self-awareness to know that you have this struggle. Do you have like a plan for how you're going to get better at this?
Yeah, so we've done things like I found like tips and tricks that have worked just, you know, through trial and error. So one thing we have as company culture is usually every 6 to 9 months or before we ever make like significant changes, we actually do a company retreat. So we'll take 2 nights and like rent a cabin and mix fun with fun and pleasure with getting down to business and learning. And that's been big because there were times in our company where we were unsure of where we were going to go. And we spent those two nights just really hammering it out, having open discussions. I think like the biggest thing overall is just having a culture of transparency. Where I'm transparent and I let them know what troubles I'm having, and then having, you know, them trusting me that they can communicate and tell me their doubts, tell me their problems. You know, long lunch breaks even help. So for example, like literally, see, we still deal with this today, like 2 months or about a month ago. So about a month ago, my developers were kind of cranky. Like we have two developers. They were kind of cranky. The work, they just didn't seem to be enjoying their job as much. And that was odd because normally we love coming to work. It's really fun. So I kind of called him out on it. We went to lunch. I had the intention of like bringing it up, called him out on it. And we had this discussion, which was just like, just tell me, you know, there's nothing wrong. Let's just have an open discussion. And it turns out it went back to vision. Like we started working on a project where they didn't understand why we were doing it because they thought it was replicating competitors. They didn't think we were going to have a competitive edge. And so without communicating that, you know, without having that open discussion, they would have kept programming, but it would have been uninspired. And so thankfully we took a 2-hour lunch. I was able to describe what we're doing and why we were doing it and why our customers wanted it. And they actually came out of that lunch break like super excited because, which is crazy because they were still going to work on the same thing that afternoon that they were going to do regardless of the lunch. But now they have the vision and the understanding, but that doesn't happen without open communication.
Yeah, you're right. It's, and losing that vision of, even though they're working on the same thing, right? And I guess getting sort of the buy-in to the vision.
Yep.
But so for ideas and for new like projects or new sort of features within the company or service that you're going to provide, do you take ideas from everyone within the team?
I've done that more. And that was feedback from my team. So I think, you know, originally what would happen is I'd go in a back room and kind of plan with, you know, my former CTO. And then we just kind of rolled the plan out to the developers. And there was pushback from that because they didn't feel like they were part of the conversation. Or another example is I personally would go out, you know, talk to 4 or 5 of our clients, understand what they want, and then come back and say, hey, this is what Jim and Bob and Joe want for their software. And that works when you talk with your customer. But what's better is when I've taken my developers out on those meetings and like they don't have to say much. They just sit with me. I still lead the conversation, but they can sit back and you know how I'm looking for that visual excitement to see if they really like the idea. Well, if you bring a developer, they see that same visual excitement. And so as soon as we leave the meeting, I look to him and say, did you see how his eyebrows lifted when we said X? Or did she see how she visibly got excited when we talked about Y feature? And that's really helped because then they know it's not me. It's not like Ryan Vasso's crazy vision on what he wants to do next. They hear it firsthand and more importantly, see it firsthand how excited our clients are.
I like it. It's a smart thing. And then especially how you prefaced it with, I mean, they don't say too much within it. Sometimes I've found that the developers aren't always the best people on a sort of sales call, but
yeah, absolutely.
But for that buy-in and then to get the excitement going, it's there because that's how you get the product developed. Otherwise you're kind of stuck.
Yep.
So you are currently like what size of a team and are you all in the same office space?
Yeah, we're all in the same office space. It's really cramped space right now. Yeah. There's six of us in a room about 200 square feet. So it gets a little cozy. But yeah, there's six of us, two main developers, myself, and then we have another developer, like a entry-level developer, and then we have two kind of side marketing assistant type roles.
And what's the thought process behind all local rather than distributed team?
Yeah, it goes back to the vision. I mean, from my personal experience, like where eventually I'd like to be able to grow is be able to express my vision to someone working completely far away in a different city. But I still struggle with that when I see them face-to-face every day. So for me, that's probably just limitations of my leadership skills. I prefer local, like we hire out of Boise State University. You know, our secret sauce, honestly, is finding people that have skills but don't have the confidence professionally, if that makes sense. Like all of our developers that have turned out to be gold are kids that have coded all their lives. They go to college, take a few classes, but they don't have that professional experience to, you know, to get a great job at another firm or another development shop here. But we look for that type of talent. So that's why we shop locally, just because we've had great success with that.
It's really cool. It's really cool. And it's a smart thing and it's working for you. So
yeah, it's working. I mean, that's bottom line. It's working for us. You know, we have great company culture here locally. So for now, we plan on rolling with that.
Yeah. So when you were talking about previously, I think it was with Based In and having contractors that wouldn't take your leads and not knowing that, you mentioned like talking to advisors.
Yeah.
Is advisors something like advisors and coaches, are those something that you've used personally and as a company?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was, you know, we took funding. We've had two angel rounds, like pretty early seed rounds. So I have a formal board, but before I had a formal board, the Angel Alliance wanted us to have like a board of advisors as well. And so I've almost from the beginning had advisors. I mean, this is where, look, I came from pet insurance with a lot of energy and probably confidence I could do it right, but I had no idea how to do the right thing. And so that I've always relied on advisors and I seek the best advisors. And, you know, I think at first I tend to focus more on just like general business, help me with good ideas, help me be a better leader. And I still have those advisors. And now we're morphing to the point of, hey, we're in this specific market with this specific niche. We need advisors to help us out to further kind of branch out in this niche. So it's been interesting how our advisors have morphed over the time.
So the advisors aren't necessarily the investors?
No. So we have like, you know, successful business owners around Boise. We have advisors from Salt Lake when we had time in Salt Lake. So no, not all our advisors, they just kind of buy into what we do and they help out fellow entrepreneurs.
Nice. And so with advisors, do you have to get them to, I know people are listening and like wondering how they could get advisors. I mean, you've kind of explained how to get them, but then how do you keep advice? Like do you feel it's the same as having a team around you, like an employees where you need to kind of keep them bought in on the vision?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, or just let them go. I mean, some advisors serve their purpose, right? Like you have a specific question or you're going through a specific hurdle. So you seek out an advisor that helps you with that. And you just, you know, you're past that and maybe there's nothing as much to bring. So that relationship ends. But in general, the advisors that you like, you keep them updated. And I found here's my little secret sauce, I guess, is the advisors are really tough to get. I go through referrals. So I try to always go up the food chain, right? I want the most successful SaaS CEOs helping me out. And so typically you can't just reach out with a cold email and say, hey, I have a business idea. Can you be an advisor? You're a super successful CEO. So I try to find people that know those people, make introductions. And then honestly, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like I find with advisor relationships, the best ones is it's like a friendship. Like you're literally our friends. You click, like you could easily go to the bar or go to lunch with these people. Like those are the best relationships. And so in that case, it's just normal, right? Like if you have a buddy that you go to lunch with, you just go to lunch with them occasionally and you talk with them. And it doesn't always have to be about business. But if it's more strategic, I won't say awkward, but more of like a strategic, just to the nuts and bolts of what you need as an advisor, usually those come and go when they're needed.
And then probably keep people around by actually like how you started. I mean, talking about being okay with like having the wrong answer, it's kind of like you are allowing yourself to be coachable and be advisable. So,
oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's for sure. And I think that's what they appreciate, right? It's like that's how I approach advisors. I come to them and say, look, I honestly just need your help. Like I'm in new ground. This is a black box for me. You've been here before or have general expertise. I would love your thoughts on this. And so sometimes I've gotten, you know, one or two meetings, but there's been times where I meet with these people every quarter or every 6 months, keep them up to date with just, you know, a simple email, like a monthly email, company update. That's what one of our investors really encouraged us to do is whether they're true investors or advisors, just continually update people on what's happening and tell them the good and the bad. I mean, most CEOs are tempted just to share the good news. We've seen great success in, you know, almost every email is here's the good news. And here's the bad, you know, here's the bad news or here's the struggle. And then here's what we're going to try to do about it. And we'll report to you next month how it goes. And so our advisors appreciate that because they can kind of see where we're at and they chime in when they think they can help.
Nice. I like that. Here's the good news. Here's the struggle, but here's also how we're going to work to fix it.
Yeah. Cause then they know you're authentic. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that an early stage startup is not going through tremendous problems. Whether that's, you know, figuring out revenue or figuring out your customers or channels, like there's always some type of hurdle. So the more you're transparent about that, the more they, you know, certain advisors can step up and help you through that process.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it. I love it. All right, Ryan, it's been a lot of fun, man. I want to wrap up on one final question for you, if I could.
Yeah.
This idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap, which seems to be this gap, I think, that we live in as entrepreneurs, as dreamers. I think we always project our successes personally into the future, no matter what we accomplish. So in 1 month, when you hit that metric, in 6 months, when you hit that other target you've set for yourself, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Yet you and I both know that seconds before you hit that goal, you're going to set five bigger ones into the future, which I agree we have to keep pushing forward, but it's still no matter what we accomplish, we never see ourselves as successful. So I would like, Ryan, if you could stop, turn around and look behind you. You've been at this game now through three company iterations and for several years, but look at the highs, the lows, the wins, and the losses, and tell me how you feel about the sort of entrepreneurial journey up until today.
Yeah, it's a constant battle of highs and lows, and it's day by day, sometimes hour by hour. I think, you know, in the first year and a half, it was more emotionally taxing because I'd allow highs to be really highs, right? Like it'd be a simple win and I get really, really excited about it. Or there'd be a loss and I get super bummed about it. And I've learned just to be self-conscious of, hey, this is a high, enjoy it for an hour and then get back to work because there's probably going to be a low tomorrow. And same time with the lows, like instead of getting down, I've learned just to recognize, you know what, this is a low period of time. Sometimes it's lasted a few hours. You know, the worst ones have lasted a month, but just realizing, hey, this is a low time. This is part of being an entrepreneur, being self-conscious of it. It still sucks. But you know you're eventually going to get out of it if you keep working hard and look for better opportunities or new opportunities. But it's definitely, it's a lot harder than I thought it would be, especially building a SaaS product. It's hard trying to figure out a product that works. And so there's just constant disappointment. But one thing I didn't anticipate was how it would affect my family because, you know, for the first 2 years, it was tough on my marriage. My wife wasn't used. She doesn't have like an entrepreneur spirit. She's like the complete opposite where she wants, you know, security and she wants money in the bank. And just like, she'd be fine if I could find a job that paid $70,000 a year and had a good 401k, she'd be the happiest person on earth. And that's just not me. So it was 2 years of working that out and having her be comfortable with it and having me be more sympathetic to her, and then like learning how to leave stress at home or leave stress at work so I could still be a good father when I come home. Like, that's just layers that I didn't even anticipate going in. But, you know, now that we're 4 years in, like, we've worked through it. I think just the key is just recognizing the weaknesses, recognizing the problems, whether it's at home or at the office or with coworkers, and just working on solutions and essentially just trying different solutions. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, find another solution, because you can't have continual problems existing.
Awesome answer, man. Awesome answer. I love it. I like that constant battle of highs and lows week to week.
Oh, it's terrible.
And sometimes hour to hour.
No, it's terrible. Like, you get a great email. It's like, hey, we're a client. And then the next hour you get like, hey, we're canceling our service. And it's just like, it's just crazy life, but that's what I signed up for. Like, I enjoy it. I love the highs.
Awesome, man. Awesome. All right, Ryan, we've got to talk about Reply Pro like in passing. Can you now give the pitch to the audience and tell them where they can track you guys down online?
Yeah. So Reply Pro is mainly built for small businesses. And so we gather all reviews and social media mentions in one spot. So let's say I'm a local restaurant. I've got Yelp and Foursquare and Facebook and TripAdvisor and all these reviews out there. Plus I had people tagging my restaurant, taking pictures, or, you know, mentioning it on Facebook. We put all that on one simple app where they can toggle through. But really where we have defined ourselves is not only do we report when there's new reviews, but we allow people to respond back with one simple click. So instead of having to log in to different review sites every time, or log into Facebook or Twitter or track down like 7 different apps, it's everything in one spot where they can easily communicate. So our goal is just to increase customer engagement and allow businesses to do it on their mobile phone. So we have a website, replypro.io, but I highly suggest people just download our app. Currently it's free. It's just on the Google Store and the App Store. They can just look up Reply Pro or the keyword like manage reviews, and we're usually at the top.
Nice. Reply Pro in the app stores. I'll find links to those for the show notes, as well as replypro.io. Do you spend any time on social media, Ryan?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Twitter?
Yes. Yeah. I actually just created a personal account. I'm usually under our corporate account.
Okay. So what's your personal, Ryan?
It's just at Ryan Basso.
Awesome. Perfect. I will track that down as well and link to that in the show notes.
Great.
All right, Ryan. Thanks so much for joining me, man. Thanks for sharing. We'll get all this out. And it's been fun, man. It's been
awesome.
A great conversation. And please just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks so much.
I have to admit it. I screwed up. I was focusing on building email lists for the past 2 years with Hack the Entrepreneur, but I was sending out messages that weren't targeted or personalized to you. But that's going to change because I'm moving my email marketing to ActiveCampaign. And I reached out to them in December, told them about the move, and they've decided to sponsor the show for the next couple months. ActiveCampaign enables me and you to send perfectly timed messages in response to your customers' actions and behaviors. Plus, I've got you 3 cool things. You can get a free migration service right now. Get all your contacts, lists, templates moved from your old provider. You'll get the second month of service free. Plus, you're going to get a free one-on-one strategy session with a platform consultant. Go right now and sign up. ActiveCampaign.com/hack. You start with a 14-day free trial, no credit card needed, and then you're going to get free migration, a second month free, and a one-on-one strategy session. Ryan, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for sharing. That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the conversation. And to bring it back to the beginning, I appreciate your vulnerability and exposing yourself with the honesty and sincerity in your answers, because I know that that's not always easy to do. So you out there listening, you get to hear the show or the interview in a different way than I get to hear it participating. So we've reached the point now in the show where I'm going to go back and sit in your seat and listen to it as you get to listen to it, because I'm looking for something. So I go back, and then I went back again and I listened. And that third time through, Ryan said something to me that I missed the first couple times through. But that last time, it was so very, very clear. It was the one thing that Ryan said. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I try to always go up the food chain, right? I want the most successful SaaS CEOs helping me out. And so typically you can't just reach out with a cold email and say, hey, I have a business idea. Can you be an advisor? You're a super successful CEO. So I try to find people that know those people, make introductions. And then honestly, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like I find with advisor relationships, the best ones is it's like a friendship. Like you literally are friends, you click, like you could easily go to the bar or go to lunch with these people. Like those are the best relationships.
And that's the hack. Ryan, thank you for this. This is awesome. The advisors and the mentors that you are going to need to go to where or get to where you want to get to need to be of the, I guess, the caliber or at the place that you want to be. So I love this idea of always try and go up the food chain, meaning that first of all, figure out who the perfect people are that could teach you the things that you want to learn, and then reach out and try and find people that are on the way up to that food chain that you could have a connection to. I mean, LinkedIn is 100% based on this principle, which is you can see in the sidebar, when you find that perfect mentor for yourself or that perfect advisor, it'll show you connections and how far away you are from that person. You are connected in some way. LinkedIn just makes it so. So then you just have to figure out how you can, with the person that you do know, even if it's 12 steps away, how you can slowly work your way up that food chain. And no, this isn't like a thing that's going to take you 20 minutes and you're going to do. Ryan's not telling you how you can just cold email the person. He's telling you that cold emailing the person is not going to work. But here's what will work. The first step is finding who that person is, meaning determining where it is you want to be. In Ryan's case, it's somebody who's uber successful in the SaaS marketplace, right? Software as a service. For you, it's going to be something completely different. But determine who that person is. They basically should be where you want to be, or they have been where you are trying to get to. And then go to LinkedIn and work your way backwards. And then, as Ryan says, work your way up the food chain. Ryan, thank you very, very much. All right. Here's something we haven't done in a while. I appreciate you so much stopping by, listening, all that stuff. It'd be awesome if you could take 2.5 minutes and go to iTunes and leave a rating and a review for the show. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes will take you right there if you're on an Android device. It should be hacktheentrepreneur.com/, I believe it's Android. I should actually check that before giving you that link. But wherever you get your, if you're getting them from Google Play, if you're getting them from iHeartRadio, if you're getting them from iTunes, wherever that happens to be, you can search Hack the Entrepreneur. And take just a couple minutes to leave an honest rating, review, make it short, make it sweet. That's cool. But it does. It helps so very, very much. Gets us kind of in front of more people and allows us to have cooler, awesomer, more better guests on the show. Either way, if you have the time, that'd be awesome. I would really, really, truly appreciate it. And yeah, it's been fun. Stop by the show, hacktheentrepreneur.com. And check out Ryan's show notes as well as some of the things we're up to over there. All right. It's been fun. Thank you so very much. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.